You look
All
confused.
right. Yeah. We
Oh.
get into sinners, y'all.
Okay, everybody, we're gonna start by singing the little riff
We're
that they
not
did in the car.
singing.
Hail, pale moon. That I'm taking that out because that was crazy. No, but Pale, Pale Moon is my favorite song. That song invigorated something. Just like surface thought, like first thought when you watch Sinners.
That was amazing.
It was cool. Right?
For some reason, Alex has like a different view from the rest of us.
Yeah.
So
it's not, there's no different view. It's just not. I think I had it at like a crazy expectation level because of what somebody told me. And so when I came in the movie, I thought to be like head over heels blown. Like,
I was sitting there like,
the whole time.
No, but I don't know if I came in with like a crazy expectation.
I feel like I described
about
it.
The movie before I watched it. I didn't watch the trailer. I saw people talking online, but I didn't know what it was about for real. So not knowing anything about it and then seeing that, I just thought it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was art.
Yeah, it was just me hearing from other people that had seen it. And I was like, I take y'all word for it. Like, and then when I went to go see it, I was like, oh, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was nuts. It was nuts.
The fact that it happened in one day, like night even.
Yeah.
Like, the whole,
yes.
I'm like, wow, that just goes to show, like, things can change, like,
right.
That.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you let the wrong person in.
Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the wrong person in.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
That's it, guys. Drop the mic. No.
I just felt
but...
like I related. I kind of can relate to Sammy so much, especially with his dad being a pastor and being in the church. And you see that, you know, people in church have a different view of life, for sure. Mm. And when Sammy's dad was trying to get him to put down music, it's like, why would I leave my passion for the church?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe God is real, and I want to have a relationship with him, but I don't feel like I should leave what brings me joy just to have this relationship, just because you don't understand me.
And it was a gift God gave him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because who else would have given that gift?
Right.
Right. Right. And I think it's funny because when we think about a lot of, like, artists of our generation or, like, even from past generations, they grew up in the church. They grew up in the church and then they realized, hey, you know, I love God, but I want to make this kind of music. I'm being led to make this kind of music. And, is one artist that I absolutely love. His name is PJ Morton, and his father is Bishop Paul Morton. And in his book, he talks about that, him being conflicted in that area because he was such a PK, you know, he was just used to just playing for church, making music for church, making gospel music. And that's what he did at first. But then he was like, it doesn't bring me true joy. Like, I love the Lord and I have a relationship with him, but this is not the kind of music that I want to make for the rest of my life. And he was like, you know, it wasn't until he got a little older that he started listening to Stevie Wonder and, you know, more R&B and soul artists. And he was like, that's the kind of music I want to make. And it's like, his father was like, I love you regardless. I know you have a relationship with God. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, just make music that is true to your heart. And, you know, he ended up becoming successful because of it. And he doesn't make vulgar music at all, which I also love. But it's really just about having people in your life that are going to support you no matter what. Even if it goes against what they might feel, it's about them loving you enough to trust you to be like, okay, he's still going to carry God with him wherever he goes. That's not going to change. Mm-hmm. He's just making music that's slightly different.
That's crazy,
you know?
Because you brought up, you said Sammy with the church. Like, y'all separating church from God. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they put it together, but it's like the church is made up of the members.
Yeah.
And so we're all different. We're all human. Mm-hmm. And my relationship to God did not predicate on whatever your relationship has to do with God. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it was crazy because in the last scene that you made us all wait down, to see him just playing on the guitar. But it was just showing, like what you said, his relationship with God was just one-on-one. Just mm-hmm. him and God in the church mm-hmm. alone, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was one of the things I took away from that.
And if you have a true relationship with God, he's never going to leave you.
All right.
Sometimes we have our fun. We do the things that we want to do. Not sometimes we shouldn't be doing them, but we do the things that we want to do and we might stray. But at the end of the day, your heart belongs to God and you're going to come back.
Right. And he's going to welcome you back.
And he's going to welcome you back.
With open arms.
Yeah.
He's going to throw a celebration party for you.
Right.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. I know just you... We had this conversation about each character representing a different
sin.
Yeah.
So Stack was lust mm-hmm. because the whole reason he died in the first place was because of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Stack? Or Smoke is wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Because, just for obvious reasons.
Right.
Not KKK scene. Mm-hmm. He smoked all of them. Grace. What was Grace? I think Grace was pride. Because...
What would you consider Mary? Because I also grouped her in with lust.
I grouped her in with lust because she wanted to be part of something so bad, which was the Black community, that she felt like she wasn't. But she wanted it so bad, she was willing to be treated negatively by Stack and, like... He clearly said, like, get out of my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you. But she still wanted it so bad.
But I feel like him telling her that and him putting... That was him putting on a front.
He might be pride, too, actually.
Yeah, because I felt like when they had that conversation in the middle of the dance floor or whatever, and, you know, he was saying, like, I care about you, but it just can't work. And that's different from him saying, I don't care, right, I don't like you, get out of my face. I think he was doing it to protect the both of them.
Yeah.
And he was doing it out of love, but it just came off different because of who he is. And she clearly wasn't listening to nothing else he had to say. So he had to say it a certain way, but...
Okay, so there's a list here. It says, this person said, this is my personal lineup. Mm-hmm. It says envy Sammy because he wanted the kind of name and recognition that his cousins had and wanted to make a name for himself. Greed was Mary. She had everything and privilege, but she still wanted Smoke.
Okay, I can see that.
Wait, Stack. I think he meant Stack. Lust was Pearlene because she should have stayed her behind at home. She was talking about being married and not washing up. Pride was Smoke and Stack after they came back from Chicago. Slop is Cornbread. Cornbread is
an unserious character.
I would think that the alcoholic guy, I forget his name, he was also probably... Well, he was maybe...
Yeah.
Or Gluttony.
Gluttony.
Yeah. And then Wrath, obviously Grace, who wanted to kill all the vampires without even realizing the consequences of what her actions would do, which was kill everyone.
And then what about Annie?
Oh, Annie.
I don't know. I don't really place Annie her in anything.
Annie was protected all.
Right, she was a hoodoo. She was a hoodoo queen. But you know.
What do y'all think about the quote-unquote Christians who said that the movie was demonic?
They're dramatic.
I feel like we try to have these respectability politics when it comes to religion. And I think a lot of times we misinterpret things for being demonic. I feel like if your spirit told you when you sat down and watched the entire movie and you left that it was demonic, you're... Same discernment would have told you before you bought that movie ticket and sat in that seat. That's how I feel.
Also, I feel like if a movie makes you that spiritually bothered, you're probably spiritually weak.
Yeah.
I was getting ready for the podcast, right? Y'all saying you're gonna talk about sinners. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go on YouTube, see how the ID is. In the first podcast I clicked, the guy, he was just going on about how, like, sinners wasn't sitting right for him, and he understands what people was talking. And in my head, I'm like, what was so bad in the movie? Like, I get it, because there was some stuff that was, like, very vulgar and violent and all this other stuff, and it could mess with your spirit, But I don't think it was to the point where people were leaving the theaters.
I don't think
it was that deep. I feel like people were missing the message from it. Because of what they just saw straight up. They don't even see the whole story around it.
And I feel like what Black people dealt with in that time was dark. Like, it wasn't something that it should make you uncomfortable. No one said the movie was gonna be happy go skippy. Like, literally. It's called Sinners. Like, what did you expect? And you learn about these things in church. The devil is real. Like, all that stuff is real. So it's like, how can you be oh so shocked that people want to depict it and show people what that looks like? I think it's important to have pieces of art like this so that you can have conversations like these and help people realize, like, hey, just because this thing is happening doesn't mean that it should be affecting you so negatively. Like, you should go work on that, because clearly you're not as spiritually strong as you thought.
I was talking about it with my coworkers, and I said, if you felt like you had to walk out of that movie, your spirit was convicted about something, and that's some demon that you're battling internally, and it had absolutely nothing to do with the movie. That's on you. What are you going through? What do what in your life do you need to declutter?
I think also, I'm gonna say this. Christians, especially Black Christians, we have a difficult time with acknowledging our past, in the sense that before we had Christianity, we had other forms of spirituality that existed outside of this realm. And I want people to get out of that thinking that because it's outside of Christianity, it's immediately demonic. No. Our ancestors had to figure out a way to heal themselves, survive, prayer. And hoodoo, voodoo was one of those ways that they did it. Voodoo is not inherently evil. People do use it for evil things, but it's not inherently evil. It was a spiritual practice. When you say stuff like, oh, it's demonic, you're inherently erasing your ancestors. And at that point, I'm thinking that you anti-Black. Because before we had anything, we had that.
And at the end of the day, Annie saved them.
Exactly.
Annie was the one that knew what was going on. Annie was the one that knew how to kill them, how to get rid of them. But because she was doing something against your beliefs is demonic. That just doesn't make sense to me.
So it's not demons.
I agree with what you said about people thinking. I think, like, whatever you're doing, it's how what you're doing it for. And the gag is that people use Christianity for negativity.
Absolutely.
Invading Africa. Like,
that's how we got the religion in the first place. If the pagan male didn't tell us that we need to be practicing this religion, we probably would still be existing in our hoodoo, voodoo spiritual practices.
And most of those religions still have the same commandments of, like, doing right by people, doing whatever that may be. But even, like, today, people use Christianity as a weapon towards, like, LGBTQ people, Black people. You have Mormonism, where they literally wrote Black people out of the Bible. So it's like,
and it's like, people are so worried about what's in the Bible, but they don't understand that, one, the relationship with God. Like, right. You need that. That's and then the two most important commandments that Jesus said in the Bible is to love God and to love others.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't say to judge them by the words exactly. in his book. That's his job.
Yep.
That's his
job.
It's
like, say it again.
What's in your heart? What is in your heart? People are so worried about everyone else's outward appearance, but it's like, what are you going through internally? How is your heart? Because that's what God is looking at for real.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Delta Slim for a minute?
Who's that?
Delta Slim.
The alcoholic. In the movie.
When he was in the car and he tells a story about his brother being lynched, that broke my heart.
Yeah.
And it made me so sad because I saw it after that. He played at a railroad station and his brother was lynched at a railroad station. And it's like that constant reminder is what led that hurt, that pain is what led to his drinking. And what people see as a drunk is 9 times out of 10 a person in pain and some very unspeakable pain that they can't always talk about, so they turn to certain things,
especially back then.
I think even after, I believe it was after that, when he just kind of to prevent himself from crying, he kind of just burst it into song. And then, you know, Sammy started playing and it was just like, whoa. Like, we don't realize how important music and sound, like, that was our war cry. Like, that was the way that we healed. Like, it's not just music. It was a way of community. And in that very moment, we see three men that probably have all dealt with trauma in some sense, unite with the playing of a guitar.
Yeah.
And the singing of a tune.
You guys know that was improvised too, right?
When you told me that, I was like, whoa.
He improvised that whole scene and Ryan was like, keep going.
Oh, yeah, I think that's why Michael that's why looked Michael a little like confused. Play the guitar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It was improvised. But that goes to show, like, the generational, like, why he immediately did that. Me and Bria drove by a cotton field the other day
in the Hamptons.
I was gagged. I've never seen a cotton field before.
I think Ryan Coogler said that him driving past a cotton field is what inspired, like, the movie. He hadn't seen one before.
That was my first time, and I was like,
it was really
like, hold up now.
All my ancestors, the trauma just flooded back. I was like, whoa.
We were all in that car. We were like, what? Like, who's...
And it looked like a cute little farm. It had, I was like, who's picking all that cotton?
It was a big field?
I have a video. It was a big field.
Don't play the sound because Jalen's in the background.
But it just goes to show, like, these... It could be any little reminder. And people want to say, oh, slavery was 400 years ago. Get over it. No. We are still dealing with the trauma of our ancestors. It will never go away. Yeah. Like, even when you think it's away because you're so far removed from it, you're not. It's always going to be something that brings it up some way, somehow. And it's indoctrinated in our DNA at this point. It's unfortunate, but it happens. And that cotton field, I was like,
like, why do y'all still...
What?
Yeah.
And then it's crazier because I saw a video and I think they were in, like, Arkansas or something, and they had prisoners in the fields picking cotton and the male police officers on the horses.
There's a book I had to read, Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome. It talks about pretty much how the effects of slavery is still present in us today, and a lot of our traumas and a lot of the things that we go through literally is directly from slavery. Like, I be so upset at why I'm so light-skinned. Like, every summer, I'll be trying to tan, but it's like, well, my ancestor that was a slave that got raped by that slave master and had that little biracial baby, and it's literally in my DNA.
And it's not an exaggeration.
It's like, not.
That's literally exactly what happened over and over and over again.
Life.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sad.
Yeah.
There was this whole uproar on TikTok of a lady who got married on a plantation and had her guests staying in these slave quarters. And it's like, that is, they, you know, they called it something different.
Of course.
But, like, it is what it is. It, those are the slave quarters, and you're having your wedding on this plantation. And people just think that we need to get over it and stop talking about it, but they don't care.
Yeah.
Is it a dumb question to ask if they were white or black?
You know what they were.
Blake Lively, same thing with her. She got married on a plantation and tried to come out and talk about something. Oh, I didn't know. You didn't know that when you rode up that pathway that you seen this big white house and you didn't think that it was a plant on a plantation?
All plantations are named. They have plantation
please,
at the end.
Yeah, please. Please. You knew exactly what you was doing. Give me a break.
I'm so sick of, like, black people in general just, like, putting to the side white ignorance. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's been too long for you to be ignorant about things that have that gratitude. When you have other cultures that have had reparations, all these things, and our culture has not had a single thing that's like, that we've been given by...
Where's our 40 acres and a mule?
Exactly.
Where's it at? Where was it at? Where's it at? We still ain't get it.
There were close to over probably 100 million Native Americans in America before the British got here. There's now less than 300,000. 300,000!
And we don't even understand how much land, even especially in New York, how much land we're sitting on that's Native land.
And this is why history is so important.
That watered down stuff that we've learned in school.
But the kids, they don't know their history.
Nope.
I remember seeing a picture of a textbook on one of these social media sites that was like, you know, the colonizers asked the natives to leave and they left. That's not what happened.
And what's crazy is like, they don't teach this in other countries, because my friend Jada, she's from the UK, and she didn't understand sinners at all because she didn't know. She doesn't know about black history. And I talked to her on the phone for like 2 hours, and she was so shocked. She didn't know about sundown towns. She didn't know about how bad these plantations really were, about the white men raping the men's wives and all these things. She did not know, and it's like sad, but it's like she can't help that she didn't. That's how she grew up. She grew up in another country, in the UK, where they...
But I have a question. Were they teaching the children about their hand in colonization, like on their end?
No, I should ask her that.
Because they also, you know, they colonized. They were the colonizers.
Honestly, I don't know. Probably not as detailed as it should have been. It's probably like a watered down version of like, we went there and they had Thanksgiving. And
right.
It was cute and fun.
No, we shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving, but whatever. We still gonna eat some turkey though.
I actually don't like turkey.
Yeah, turkey's dry.
Yeah, I have my mom's turkey. My mom's turkey is the best. Yeah.
I'll be coming over.
We're gonna do it on Friday instead of Thursday.
No, I stand there.
Right.
But that's why I really want like black people to just stand on business. Like we just all as a group need to stand on business. We need to stop letting people come into our culture, use it, and then decide they want to be white again and then go back.
Yes,
and it's unfortunate.
Upsets me so much about Brooklyn right now.
Don't get me started.
Brooklyn, the place that they didn't want to move to, but they put all of us, and we created our communities, and we had our places that we go to. And now that they want to move here for the aesthetic, they want to complain about noise. And they want to shut down these places that's for us. And they want to raise rent to $5,000 where people, where we can't afford. But it's like, y'all didn't want to be here.
Right.
And we were here. We made a name for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Y'all seen it. And now y'all want to come back.
Yep.
We need to go back to what Little Kim said. You got to have a pass when you cross that bridge.
Right, right. And it's crazy because it reminded me of an episode of Sex and the City where Miranda was looking for a house. Like, she wanted to buy something, and, you know, she was kind of like, I want to stay Fifth Avenue, wherever they be at. And she's like, I want to stay up here. Like, I don't want to move anything further than whatever. And, you know, she went to go look in a house in Brooklyn, and when she told the rest of the girls, they were like, Brooklyn?
Mm-hmm.
Now look.
Yeah.
They're infiltrating.
Literally.
They're coming in here. And I had this discussion earlier. And I was like, the reason why things are the way they are is because these developers and these people that own these buildings, they know that these transplants are going to come here and pay the astronomical rent.
Mm-hmm.
So they continue to develop these buildings with the crazy prices, and they know they're going to move in there, and they know the people in the neighborhoods cannot afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop coming here and purchasing these freaking expensive apartments. Stop pricing us out of our neighborhoods.
Stop coming here, period.
Stop coming from Idaho. Stop coming from Arkansas.
Yeah,
stop coming from... stop it. Because... And it's frustrating because it's like, then in the span of 5-6 months, it's been at least 10, 15 black businesses that have shut down.
Yes.
No exaggeration.
Yes. And more shutting down.
Bedvine is closing?
Yeah.
What do you mean
Bedvine is closed? I think it's closed
by now. May 30th. Because I was like, I got to go before they close. Because I got to support. But that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, huh?
For these little cafes to pop up.
We just need to start, like, scaring them out.
Like, seriously. I saw a video.
Sorry to cut you off.
It's okay.
But remember me, Alex, Marquise, and our grandmother, we were driving down Fulton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we were passing...
No, we were driving.
We was passing a certain neighborhood, and, you know, we was talking about what it used to be, and then I remember my grandma was like, I could not live out here.
Mm.
Like, I know the history, I know what happens out here. I could not live out here. And she said, but you know who will? And right at the moment, a white lady was crossing the street.
Mm. It's
scaring
me.
And then with the white people comes more police.
Right.
And now they want, and they only come in and irritating and talking to the black people
mm-hmm.
that have been there pretty much all their mm-hmm. lives.
That's exactly
because
why
Sally is uncomfortable.
Yep.
Well, Sally can go back home.
Sally can move Sally. Away from New York. Go to the Hamptons, go Long Island, go somewhere else. Stop moving into these neighborhoods.
This, I have a story. This guy came into my job and he was like, because this guy got shot in the head on Lincoln and Franklin. This was like last summer, and I heard about it, and he was telling me about it. This is like white gay guy. He was like, oh my god, yeah, like, I thought it was such a good neighborhood. I was like,
okay,
he was like, it was like 3 p.m. middle of the day, and I looked at him. I was like, you're not, where are you from?
did you do your research before you moved here?
He's like, yeah, I live right on Franklin and Lincoln. I'm like, it's New York. I literally told him, I was like, it's New York. Don't expect anything. Don't expect perfection. Like, people can get on the train and come to wherever you're at, where you think it's safe.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And do whatever they want to do.
Right.
You know how before you could clock when a white person was going to get off the train?
Mm.
You cannot do that anymore.
Why are they getting off at Notion Avenue? Why are so many of y'all getting off there?
Why are they getting off at Myrtle Willoughby? Ain't nothing but projects
Utica.
Over here.
Why are y'all getting off at 125th Street?
No. That... Like, that's crazy.
125th
Street? Like, they're
starting
to take over Harlem, and that's a...
Yeah. Yo. That's,
yeah.
They're renaming areas in Harlem. I forgot what they were calling them, but they were calling them crazy names. And I'm just like, I need y'all to get it together.
Just like the Asians.
Oh, it's don't get me started on the school and like the affirmative action. Oh. Do not get me started.
I was talking about man. The Asian.
Even that plays into it. Yeah. That plays into it.
They only wanted to be there just for the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But they didn't want it to leave.
Yeah.
They were the reason why everything else.
And I feel like it was mostly Grace.
It was Grace. Because she worked in the white
store. Bo wanted to stay. Bo helped them the whole night. Grace was only there to benefit and profit off of them.
And she immediately started negotiating with Smoke. Right when they got there.
Yeah.
And but Bo was like, oh my God, I missed you. My friends of 20
but then
years.
Grace was in the white store anyway. So she felt more towards them, and Bo was in the black store, and I think Bo was in a war with them, so they had more of a connection.
Yeah. Because when it comes to POCs, they don't care about black people at all.
Yeah.
And it's, they don't. It stems from white people and them wanting to be palatable to white people.
Yes.
They, white people started all of that. Literally all of, they put Asian people and black people against each other in the school system. With affirmative action. It's like, why can't everyone else see that?
Indians still go by a caste system.
Yes.
Still.
Yes.
To this day.
It's crazy.
There's such a need to be, to have this proximity to whiteness. Is be released from the shackles.
And you see what happens when you invite them in. If you watch Sinners.
Right.
You see what happens.
All hell break loose.
Yep. And the Indians, they tried to warn.
We needed more of them. We needed more of them in the movie.
We need a backstory.
Cause
Ryan, if you're listening to this, because I did send it to your
start
email.
Start the cinematic universe.
Start the universe. Please.
No, yeah. I was like, we needed more of that. Of that. Because
I feel like, though, we got the perfect amount. Mm-hmm. They tried to warn.
And they left.
They
yeah.
said, look, this is not what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to help you. Take it or leave it. Because this sun about to go down. And we're going to make it back before the sun go down. But you went ahead and you invited him in. Yeah. Now you deal with the consequences of that.
Even the Irish.
I was going to say. I didn't want to. All right, forget it.
Even the Irish.
Even Remick being Irish, right? Yeah. They went through all that turmoil just to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And use that as a use that against them. Yeah,
it's like no, Remick. They're still all gonna be controlled by who? You,
right?
The white man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he didn't even have red hair.
I don't think all Irish people have red hair.
Cut that out.
Wait, aren't that Scottish people that have red hair?
I thought it was Irish people.
No, Scottish people. Cause Brave, remember Merida? They were Scottish.
I thought it happened to Scottish.
Do you know what scene sent chills through my spine?
I think I know.
When they were in the water.
Mm.
And Remick is dunking Sammy. And Sammy starts saying the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, Lord.
And they started saying it with him.
Yo.
And it's the devil knows the Bible.
Yes,
the devil was an angel.
He was an angel.
He knows scripture too.
But you know, the Irish people, fun fact, they have a whole gas station dedicated to Barack Obama and a theme song. So
that's real cute. Yeah.
Like literally it's a whole Obama theme, a whole Obama themed gas station. And they have like a big statue in front of Barack Obama.
They love Obama.
Yeah.
No, they have ginger beards.
Ginger beards. Okay.
Yeah, they have the ginger beards.
Got it. Okay. But the hair is like brown.
He has a note. He said, I'm not leaving here till I figure this out. I just thought it was very sad. I felt really bad because it's like Smoke and Stack, they wanted to create a place where black people can come and just have a good time and not have to worry about the outside world. And only one of them made a home that night.
Yeah.
And then two, the KKK was coming to kill them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's so hard for black people to create spaces just for themselves. And I feel like nowadays, church is probably one of the only places where we can gather. Yeah. And even everybody in church is not in hand.
Right.
So it was just really sad, especially at the end when they like showed them getting ready. Yeah. And even when Sammy said, before everything happened, that was one of the best days mm-hmm. of my life. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, like, we mm-hmm. can't even be happy.
Right.
He said, don't you think for that moment, like, just everything was just fine. Like, yeah. Perfect. That was my favorite moment of the movie.
And once again, at the hand of a white man. Happens.
Yep.
Everything is so fine, and then...
Till it's not. Something just messed it up. Till the white man come.
Something just...
Yeah, I think also another theme that kind of got glazed over was the black man's vulnerability. Mm. Especially in the scene with Annie and Smoke. Even outside of physical, you know, connection. Him, you could tell he didn't really want to say it, but he said it anyway. He said the hard thing out loud. Mm-hmm. And it brought them closer together. And black men need to be more vulnerable.
Yeah.
But we got to create spaces for black men to be more vulnerable.
We got to open the space so that they can be.
Because even Stack, like, Stack and Mary had their moment, and he spilled his guts to her too, kind of. Yeah. And it's like, we need to have more spaces where black men are able to be vulnerable, and because they hold a lot in. Black people in general hold a lot in, but
yeah.
I think that was a theme that kind of glazed over a little bit, but then I just thought about it.
Yeah, especially when he found out she'd been protecting
him.
Yeah.
The roots and stuff, even till the very end.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's how you know God was a part of that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Everything on this, most of the things on this earth was put here by God.
Everything naturally on this
earth. Naturally on this earth. Yeah. And that level of spirituality is not by somebody just saying, hey, I'm going to use some sticks and dirt and put something together.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's why I can't understand, like, atheists sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're really telling me you believe in nothing?
Nothing.
Like, everything is too perfect mm-hmm. for you to believe in nothing. Yeah. Like, we are the exact distance away from the sun that we need to be for there to be life. If mm-hmm. we were 2 inches closer, we'd all be dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we were 2 inches further, we'd all be dead. There'd be no water, etc. So you mean to tell me, even science... even people that more so believe in science, at least you believe in something.
Something, yeah.
Even with science, it's like, how do you even think science is science?
And look, people, like, scientists have used the Bible to back up whatever science proves the Bible's already said.
Yep.
I could talk about that for hours, but...
Go see Sinners.
Yes.
In conclusion.
Even IMAX, if you can.
Right. Or like the 70, the 70.
And Ryan Coogler, this is for you and you only. Make more theaters have IMAX, please.
Please.
Specifically, what is it called? The Starlight Theater? Or what is that theater called?
Get your nuts together before
Alamo?
You address Ryan Coogler.
No, we're boycotting Alamo.
Nighthawk. But Nighthawk is so small, they can't possibly have IMAX, Their theaters are like...
That's Ryan's fault.
It's not. Ryan, build a movie theater in Brooklyn.
Just for Sinners.
Right.
And all your movies.
Just play Sinners all day long.
And create the multiverse. We want to see it all. Mm-hmm.
You know what also, this is unrelated. You paid $20 to walk out of a movie? I would never do that.
I'm sitting my black behind right there. I'm staying planted in my seat.
In this economy?
Please.
That's crazy.
I'm taking a nap or something, but I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Thanks.
Catch y'all in the next episode. We went on a long rant, so.
Hope you enjoyed. I hope you left with something.
Bye.
Bye.